Chapter 35. Linda had until the 22nd of October to make plans before she moved to her new prison home. Devastated at the prospect of being locked up, she contemplated taking her own life. But she knew she couldn't do that. She had to stay alive for her children. If she was a model prisoner, and she certainly planned to be, and if she stayed healthy, she would one day, or so Judge Langston decreed, get out on parole. But there were a lot of ifs, so she called a Cabot lawyer, not one picked out by Howard, to help her plan for her children should she die before them. She hired William Price Phelan to draw up her last will and testament, in which her friends, Mary Jane Rogers or Sandy Dyson, were named as guardians of the person and property of each of her children during their minority. She also named James Russell Myers, the longtime friend of her deceased brother, and the People's Bank of Van Buren as co-trustees and co-executors. Howard wanted her to sign over complete custody of their children to him. She would not. Perhaps that was the first time she had ever refused to do what he asked, or anyone else. October 22, 1984, dawned clear with a touch of fall in the air. Sheriff Trellin Ball was scheduled to take Linda to prison, and before he left for work, he asked Ruby to pray with him. "Help this woman, dear Lord, this pitiful woman who has to pay for her crime. I know she did a terrible thing, but forgive her for her sins. Keep her safe, dear Lord, because she has four boys who need her, especially the youngest one." "Don't take this so hard," Ruby said after they had said their amens. "She killed her mother, and she has to pay."
I know," the sheriff said. "I've let this case get to me, and I shouldn't have. But I still can't believe a man would turn in his own wife."
Ruby handed her husband his jacket.
"Ex-wife."
"Well, I guess so, but still."
He tossed the jacket over his shoulder, kissed his wife on the cheek, and closed the door behind him. Ruby watched her husband as he drove out of their driveway and down the street. "There goes a good man," she thought, and poured herself another cup of coffee. Sheriff Ball obtained the necessary paperwork for the transfer of a female prisoner and left Van Buren around 8:30. He stopped at McDonald's in Conway for coffee and a fish sandwich, killing several minutes before he continued on to pick up Linda at a prearranged time and place in North Little Rock. Gilla Turner had arranged for a going-away party. She invited eight people, and following a brunch of fruit cups and chicken salad, they waited with Linda for the sheriff. When Sheriff Ball saw Linda and her friends, he parked at the far side of the building. He didn't want her friends to witness her getting into his car, so he walked around to where she stood and offered his arm. She turned for a last look at her friends, took his arm as if they were on a date, and walked to his car. At 1 o'clock, he dropped her off at the Prison Information Center in Pine Bluff and said his goodbye. Linda later wrote in her diary, "The sheriff left me here saying they would take care of me. I sat and waited with my address book and makeup bag for a very long time. I tried not to cry."